Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I'm Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me today. Last week, I talked about making sure we focus on Jesus in 2021, and just want to encourage you to stay focused on Him through prayer, through reading of His Word, through fasting. You know, that's something that Jesus tells us to do is fast, and I think that's one of the most neglected parts of our walk with Christ. I know it has been for me, and I'm making an intentional effort this year to really focus more on prayer and fasting. There's just something about when we decide that we're going to give up something that we really want and need, and that's food, to really have a greater hunger for God and just to dig in more and more with God. So just want to encourage you again today to do that. Today we're going to talk about a topic of why does it seem like bad things happen to good people? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever asked that question? Are you one of those good people that, you know, some bad things have happened to you and you're wondering why is this going on? Why is this happening in my life? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, You are so good to us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your mercies, which are new every day. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for, God, just loving us. Thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the salvation, Jesus, that You bought for us on Calvary. And thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us and filling us with Your power. And I ask You, Holy Spirit, to teach us this morning. Lead us into all truths. And Father God, may we be doers of Your Word and not hearers only. And God, if anybody is listening, they're going through a tough time right now and they may not quite understand why. I ask You, Father, that this message will bring encouragement to them. And Father, I pray for those who have not given their lives to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that today is the day that they will call out to You, Jesus, and declare that You are Lord of their lives and that they'll ask You to forgive them of their sins, because You will, and You'll give them eternal life. So, Father, we just want to again say thank You, we love You, and we praise You, and it's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I asked a question earlier. Have you ever wondered why bad things happen to good people? Let me be the first to tell you, I really don't know, except that we live in a fallen world, and bad things happen. We see that all the time. We hear about that all the time. All kind of bad things happen in this world. It's just frustrating when, even more so when you see it happening to good people. But you know, if we seek God in each one of these situations, we may not always understand why something happens, but there are times when we do, and He'll show us. And so this morning I want us to talk about Joseph, because if anybody had a right to complain, Joseph would definitely be at the beginning of the list of folks who had the right to complain, but he didn't. And so what I want us to do this morning is look at the life of Joseph, see what he went through, and see how we can pull some things out of this to help us in situations in our lives or situations that we will come across. Because if you're not going through a tough time right now, you will. I will. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. I'm not trying to put a downer on anybody Sunday morning, but we all know that things happen in this world, and sometimes they're our own doing, and we need to realize that and pray to God about that. But there's other times when it's out of our control, and it's things that we didn't even do, but we still need to go to God, and we still need to pray to Him about it. And there's always good that can come out of any situation, and Joseph's life is definitely like that. And to read about Joseph, just go to the front of the Bible in Genesis and flip over to, we're going to start in chapter 37 today, Genesis chapter 37. Now, Joseph, we pick up here, Joseph is a young man. He's 17 years old, and he is out in the fields with the flock, tending the flock with his brothers, his older brothers, and he's still a youngster. And it turns out that he's his dad's favorite son. Now, we can stop right here and make a quick point to say dads Don't just have a favorite son or a favorite daughter. Let each one be your favorite. Because when we start picking favorites, then it seems like trouble always happens. And that's how God looks at us. He loves us all the same. The Word of God tells us that what He does for one, He'll do for another. And He's not a respecter of persons. Parents out there, love your children. Love each one of them the same. When we start playing favorites, it just seems like things happen that aren't good. And that's what happens here is that Joseph's brothers realize that their dad, Jacob, who is now called Israel, favors Joseph. And matter of fact, he even made Joseph a coat of many colors. And he gave it to him because he just loved him so much. And Joseph, he's a youngster. It doesn't seem like he's really thinking a whole lot about that and what kind of position that has put him, his dad has put him in. But Joseph, he had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. And his brothers got really upset at him because what he said, and I'm going to let you read through this yourself. I'm not going to read it word for word, but what happens in his dream is his brothers are actually bowing to him in his dreams. So his older brothers are hearing their younger brothers say, look, you're going to bow to me one day. That's what I dreamed about. And so he had another dream. And in this dream, his father and brothers were bowing down to him. Now, that dream didn't even set well with his father, Israel, who tells him, we're going to pick this up in verse 10. He also told it, talking about the dream, to his father as well as to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Am I and your mother and your brothers actually going to come to bow down on the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So we see right there, things aren't going well between Joseph and his brothers. And it's all setting up for a plot against Joseph when his dad, Israel, sends him out to look for his brother to bring back a report on how things were going with the flock. And so as he was walking towards them, in verse 18, they see him and they see his coat, of course, and they start plotting to put him to death. As a matter of fact, they said in verse 19, here comes the dreamer. Now then, come and let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a vicious animal devoured him. Then we will see what will become of his dream. So they are mad. They are very mad against Joseph right now. But thankfully, he has one brother who says, no, we don't need to kill him. Let's don't take his life. Let's don't have our brother's blood on our hands. And so what they end up doing is they stripped him of that coat of many colors, and they threw him down in a pit. And they were just going to leave him in the pit. But a group of traders came by, and they decided, you know what, let's just sell him to these traders. They're going to Egypt. He will be gone. We'll pour some blood on Joseph's coat and rip it up and tell our dad that a vicious animal must have killed him. And that's what they do. And the traders do take him to Egypt, where we read in verse 36 that he was sold in Egypt to Potiphar, who was Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. So things are starting to go bad for Joseph. And it's just the beginning. If you've never read the story of Joseph, you really need to go in and read it for yourself, because I'm just skimming it right now, just to paint a picture of bad things happening to good people. You know, Joseph was a good guy. He's a good young man, and he's serving his father faithfully. He's taking care of the flock, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. He made a mistake of telling his brothers his dream, or it would appear it would be a mistake. But he told his brothers that the dream, and then they became jealous and plotted to kill him. And now he's a slave in a foreign land. Joseph could have just said, well, my life is done. I'm not even going to try to do anything. But he doesn't. You know, the old saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, Joseph does that here. He is in Potiphar's house, and he really starts showing himself to be successful in Potiphar's eyes, that what he touched, the Lord blessed. We read in Genesis chapter 39, verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight, that being Potiphar, and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and put him in charge of all that he owned. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. So the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left Joseph in charge of everything that he owned, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. So things are going great for Joseph. He has found favor with Potiphar. Potiphar puts him in charge of everything. Matter of fact, we see Potiphar's not, he doesn't have a care in the world except what he's going to eat. Everything else, Joseph is taken care of. So Joseph gets sold into slavery. He goes to another country, but he becomes like the right-hand man of Potiphar. And so he's being treated very well, and things are going well for him. Well, we read that Joseph was handsome. He was a handsome young man, and Potiphar's wife had eyes for Joseph. So right there, trouble's beginning, and she approaches Joseph in verse 7 and tells him to sleep with her. But Joseph refused, and he told his master's wife, he said, "Look, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put me in charge of all that he owns. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Joseph is a very upstanding young man. He loves and fears his God, and he loves and respects his master, the one who put him in charge of everything. So he tells Potiphar's wife, "I'm not going to do this because I'll be sinning against my God and doing a great evil against Potiphar. So no, I'm not doing this." So she kept trying. She kept trying to make advances on him, and he would not give in. So finally, one time, when it was just the two of them in the house, she grabbed him by his garment, and she again said, "Sleep with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. So she gets mad because he will not give in to her advances. So she screams, and she starts telling people that Joseph tried to rape her. And so, of course, when Potiphar gets back to the house and hears about this, he is indignant. He's upset, and he has Joseph thrown into prison. Again, here's Joseph living a good, righteous life, not doing his master wrong, not doing anybody wrong. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, taking great care of things, and then the next thing he knows, he's thrown into prison, and he doesn't deserve this. One train of thought, though, in all of this is Potiphar could have had him killed because, again, Joseph was a slave, and Potiphar was an officer with Pharaoh. So he could have had Joseph killed, but he didn't. He threw him in prison instead. So that kind of makes me wonder if he fully believed what his wife was saying, because maybe she had done things like this before. I don't know. But it's interesting to me that he did not have Joseph killed. Of course, it was part of God's plan for him not to kill him. But it still makes me wonder, did Potiphar fully believe his wife or not? But anyway, Joseph is in jail. He's in prison in verse 40. And again, he could have sat back and said, "You know, look, I've done nothing wrong. And I get sold into slavery. I get thrown into prison. Now what?" But he doesn't go that direction. Again, Joseph, he stays focused on the Lord. He stays focused on his God, our Heavenly Father. While in prison, he meets a couple of fellows that Pharaoh had put in prison, and that was the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of those two. Why? Again, Joseph shows himself to be an upstanding young man and does things right, and he gets another position. He gets advanced from just being a prisoner sitting in a cell to being in charge of a couple of very important prisoners. And the cupbearer and the baker, they had a dream, each of them did, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. And basically the dreams were that the cupbearer was going to be restored to being Pharaoh's cupbearer. He tells him in 3 days that will happen. And he interprets the baker's, the chief baker's dream, and it's not a good interpretation for the chief baker. He tells him in 3 days Pharaoh is going to have him killed. And in 3 days those things happen. The cupbearer is restored to his position, and the chief baker is hung and killed. Now Joseph tells them as they're leaving, he says, look, cupbearer, don't forget me when you're out of here. So what happens? He forgot about him. And he didn't think about Joseph anymore until in chapter 41, Pharaoh has a dream and nobody can interpret it. And finally, after everybody was trying to interpret it and couldn't, the cupbearer told Pharaoh about this guy he met in prison and by the name of Joseph, and that he can interpret the dream. So Pharaoh has him brought out of the dungeon, out of the prison, and he tells Joseph the dream, and Joseph tells him, well, I can't interpret it, but God can. And so God gave him the interpretation, and it was that there's going to be 7 years of plenty. There's going to be a tremendous harvest, plenty of food, but then 7 years of famine is going to hit. And so Joseph, being a wise and intelligent young man that he is, he interprets the dream for Pharaoh, but he also tells Pharaoh this. He says, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Joseph doesn't stop there in verse 33, he says, so now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and appoint him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him take a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt as a tax in the 7 years of abundance. Then have them collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority and have them guard it. Let the food be used as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. So Joseph gives them the game plan right then. And Pharaoh, yeah, this is a great idea. We ought to do this. And he starts talking to other servants, and he said, can we find a man like this who can do this job? And Pharaoh looks to Joseph and says, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my house, and all my people shall be obedient to you. Only regarding the throne will I be greater than you. Wow. Talking about things going from horrible to great again in Joseph's life. Joseph becomes almost as powerful as Pharaoh. Again, let's look at it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, he gets thrown into a pit. He gets sold to slavery, taken to another country. And he's sold as a slave to Potiphar. Potiphar puts him in charge of everything in his house. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and he doesn't give in. So he gets thrown into prison by Potiphar. In prison, he rises to a higher position in prison to take care of two important prisoners. He interprets a couple of dreams there. And one of them is very good for the cupbearer. And the cupbearer forgets about him. You know, Joseph he's like on this roller coaster ride. What's going to happen next, he could have said, but he didn't. He stayed patient, and he stayed focused on God. And then Pharaoh meets Joseph, and he's so impressed. And it's because God's favor was upon Joseph that he put Joseph in charge of everything. And why is this important? Because as you will read in the next chapter, Genesis 42, Joseph's brothers and father, Jacob, Israel, they are experiencing the famine. And they hear that there's grain, there's food in Egypt. And so Israel sends his sons to Egypt. And what happens? Remember Joseph's dream when he said that his brothers would bow to him? Well, when they met Joseph, of course, his name wasn't Joseph at that time. They renamed him with an Egyptian name, and he looked totally different. And of course, he was older too. And so they did not recognize Joseph, and they bowed to him, and they asked for food, that they could purchase food. And a long story short, you need to go read this for yourself. start in Genesis chapter 37 and read through Genesis 50 to read about Joseph, to read about his family, and how God takes these horrible situations that Joseph found himself in and turned it into something very good each and every time. And the end of it was, the grand plan of it all was to save his family, therefore saving the nation of Israel, because Jacob, God named him Israel, and that he is the one that the nation of Israel was going to come from. And there's this great famine that's taken place, and God puts Joseph in a position to take care of his family, because what ends up happening is his brothers, his father, all of their flock, their herd is brought to Egypt. Pharaoh tells Joseph, when he hears about what all is going on, he says, give them the choicest of land and let them set up there, settle in there. And that's what happens. And so Joseph, his family, Israel, the nation of Israel is going to come out of this family and is going to grow there in Egypt and become a nation. Joseph is put in this position so he can be a part of God's great plan to form this nation. And through this bloodline, this lineage, his son, Jesus, is going to come. So it's all part of prophecy. It's all part of God's master plan to save his people, you and me, all who believe upon the name of Jesus. We are God's people. Again, go back and read the story, but remember, when you're going through a tough time, it doesn't mean God's mad at you. And again, sometimes things just happen, and I don't have all the answers of why. Only God does. But know that you're going through a tough time. It's not because God's mad at you. Maybe you've done something that put you in that position. Okay, ask God to forgive you. Ask him to help you out of it. Maybe it's a situation like Joseph where you're just going along and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and bad things keep happening. But like Joseph, keep your faith strong in God, because he will work all things out for the good, as the Word of God tells us to. Joseph was sold into slavery, thrown into prison, accused of doing things he did not do. But yet, he remained patient. He waited on God, and God brought him out to save his family and ended up saving the nation of Israel, as we keep advancing in the Bible through that. And you can go into Exodus and start reading. But be encouraged this morning. Let me encourage you with this. Instead of asking why, which it's okay to ask why, don't get me wrong. God doesn't get mad at you when you ask why. But ask who. And what I mean by that is, you're in a situation right now, and it's a situation you don't want to be in. But in that situation, God can use you to touch somebody's life that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. Let me share an example with you. Before going into full-time ministry, Martha and I were part of a business venture that didn't turn out good at all. When it was all over with, it was turned out to be very disastrous financially, and we could have become very bitter and very angry people, but we didn't, because we looked at all that God did through this and the people that he brought into our lives that we never, ever would have met any other way. People who had never heard of the name of Jesus. We were able to tell them about Jesus. We were able to share the Word of God with them, give them Bibles, pray with them. And there's many examples that I could share about this, but I'll share this one. There was this one young lady who was from the other country that we were working with, and she actually worked for the company that we worked for, and just a sweet young lady, but she knew nothing about Jesus. But through our time working together, we told her about Jesus. We took her to church. We shared the gospel with her. And when it was all over with, I was talking with her via texting and messaging over an app. And I remember telling her, I'm so sorry that things happened like it did, and you got hurt, we got hurt, so many people got hurt. And she said, it's okay. I never would have met Jesus if I hadn't met you and Martha. And right there, Martha and I both said, it's worth it all. all the pain, all the aggravation, all the loss of money was worth it all for that one soul. And there was others. There's other examples I can share. But it was bad things happening to Martha and I, and we were doing what we thought we were supposed to be doing, and things just turned out to be not good, and we were done very wrong. But we were able to see that God used that situation to touch lives who never, ever would have heard Jesus before, and also extend forgiveness to the person who did us wrong. And that's just one thing, one example of when things go bad, that we don't just ask why did that happen, but who's it for? In that instance, it was for people who had never heard the gospel before, who would come to Jesus. In some instances, the who is me. The who is you. The situation you're going through is for us to learn something out of. If we can just start learning to ask God who is this for, He'll show us. And we will have a total different perspective on what we're going through and look at it totally different and realize, you know what, we can trust God. And He's going to take this and He's going to do good out of it. And He's going to do good in me at the same time. And He's going to do good through me. And so God has a plan. And when we're going through those tough times, just like Joseph did, he didn't complain. He kept trusting God. And God did amazing things in his life, including saving a whole nation of people. So whatever you're going through right now, just stop for a moment, take a deep breath, pray to God about it. And ask God, who is this for? And I'm going to trust you through this, that whatever happens, you've got me. You've got this, and I believe you're going to make something good come out of it. We can look back at 2020 and see a lot of bad things happen to a lot of good people. But through it all, we can see God taking those bad situations and turning them into good. So here in 2021, let's just stay focused on God. And let's trust Him that these situations we're in, He's going to turn it around. But He's also going to do amazing things while we're in that position, while we're in that situation. Many times and all the time when we're in the valley and we start walking up that valley to get to the mountaintop, that's where we learn. So let God teach you what He wants to teach you. And when you come out of this, because if you trust Him, you obey Him, you will come out of this. When you're back up on the mountaintop, you'll be able to thank God for what He did. And when the next tough situation comes around, because it will, you can say, you know what, God did this for me back then. I know He'll get me through this as well. So let's trust God, because He is faithful. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you got some encouragement through this message. And I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.